So it was my wedding anniversary last week.
Ah, congratulations.
Yeah, well, not just mine, obviously. Claire was involved.
No, I do realise that.
As well. But you see, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want your advice on how to interpret this gift that I've got.
Okay.
Because she gave me some nice things, but then she gave me this book, and I'll just hold it up here. It's an invitation to solitude and silence.
Yeah. What's she saying there?
I don't know. I can't work it out.
No, strange.
Everyone, to episode 227 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast.
this is version 3.
Look, I'm laughing because this is the third attempt to record this.
It's been a painful journey.
Well, actually, it's the fourth, isn't it? Actually, it's the fourth because we...
Technically.
We tried twice last week and we were defeated by... a whole toxic mixture of broadband issues, technical failures, you know.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Health failures. You had literally no other time to re-record. It was awful.
It was a demonic attack. We know that.
Very probably. And then we tried earlier today and had another technical failure.
Having recorded the whole thing.
Yeah. So I don't really know how to approach this because I feel like I'm quite bored with this episode. But only because we've heard it four times. Three times.
Now, to be fair, the how are you bit changes every time, though, doesn't it? I mean, we're wrecked now.
It does, and the intro's sort of... altering minute by minute.
That was the worst introduction of all of them, sadly.
Well, I think I'm justified this time. in frankly not bothering. Anyway, look, enough of our technical and
yes, indeed.
Troubles.
And, well, hold on, before we go any further, let's just say a big thank you to the listeners who support us, because actually the last one was defeated by a software glitch. But we do actually have some lovely new equipment here now. And that is thanks to the support of our listeners. So thank you so much. We have sorted it out now, we think. So bless you all, because, well, I couldn't have afforded it. So thank you.
Yes, we're very grateful as ever for your support of this utter ineptitude. Listen... how are you anyway, again?
Well, listen, I'll tell you. I mean, I suppose I should say Rachel's left me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saddened, but not really surprised.
No, I don't think anyone is. So she's left me to go to Lee Abbey for 5 days on a silent retreat. So there is a bit of a theme here going on.
There is. They're all getting into it. Perhaps she and Claire were colluding on it.
They might have been. I mean, why anyone would want to go away for silence from me, I have no idea. I can't imagine.
It's two different approaches, isn't it? Claire wants me to shut up and Rachel's given up on you shutting up, so has gone away.
There may be an element of truth in that. Anyway, I'm sure she's having a lovely time. Well, she is having a lovely time. It's great down there, as you know. So something happened, which is both wonderful and slightly unnerving. So some of the listeners will know, because we have mentioned it, we were having issues with some of our appliances. The washing machine broke, but we got it fixed, which is good. And then the Dyson broke down, and Dyson said it's too old for us to repair. So here is the fantastic thing. The amazing woman that I'm married to, she just thought, I'm not having any of that. She bought the part. She watched a YouTube video. She fixed it. And, you know, that is a fantastic... I mean, it's glorious. I mean, I have to say, normally, you know, I'm the fixer of things, but, you know, it's good to switch it up a bit.
Oh, okay.
She's fixed things.
Okay.
It's great. She's worthy of all the admiration and adoration that she's got from the family. But Here's the thing, Nick. It feels like she's raising the game a bit in our marriage. And, you know, bringing fresh things, bringing new things. Now she's fixing the appliances. And I'm feeling a bit, you know...
emasculated?
Well, maybe a little bit.
You've been emasculated by a Dyson. I mean, that's one of the worst kinds of emasculation, I'd have thought.
I have been. But, you know, as St. Janet Jackson said, what have you done for me lately? Well, she's repaired a vacuum cleaner. That's what she's done.
And you're thinking, what am I bringing?
Exactly. Exactly. How am I going to raise my game now? Tricky.
Well, listen, I think there's a couple of ways of looking at this. One is, you know, you're well done, you, because you're releasing her into sort of challenging gender stereotypes.
Good. Say more. Yes. You know. I like this. Good.
And I think that you could broaden that and say, well, generally, you know, you by doing virtually nothing, by being functionally useless, are releasing her to find her full potential.
I have released her into new ministry opportunities.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
That's a much better spin on it. Thank you.
And I mean, the way this podcast has been going, frankly, you know, we are so useless that we're releasing our listeners.
We are into
making something of it.
Is anybody still listening? Do write in to Joe at Midfaith Crisis.
Oh, Lord. Well done, her.
Yes, no, she is amazing. And she's a very good spiritual director, I might add as well. But there we go. Enough of her brilliance. Let's talk about the films I've seen. So I went to see I Want to Dance with Somebody. So that's the film about Whitney Houston's life. Amazing. I mean, just terrific. Although, spoiler, she dies.
Yes, I'd heard a rumour.
Yeah, I know, it's dreadful. It's a bit like Elvis, you know, the film Elvis last year. It's all a very sad ending.
Yeah, but Elvis isn't dead. I mean, we all know that's a conspiracy thing.
Oh, well, okay. All right, fair point. But I think Whitney is. But listen, I don't want to talk about that film. Went to see A Man Called Otto, the new Tom Hanks film. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I really loved it. So, I mean, I will say, for the benefit of listeners who don't know about this film, it has got quite a dark premise. So if suicide themes are triggering for you, you might not like it, because it's about a man who tries to commit suicide but fails, essentially. But actually, what you have here is a whole journey. It really helped me. It's a man dealing with grief and sadness and loss and questioning where's the point to everything. And the film goes some way towards answering some of those questions. It was beautiful. Really, really enjoyed it. Highly recommend it. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's good. Oh, and I saw Barnell last week. Yeah, so just driving home, it's been crazily busy. I mean, just stupid. You know, it's not getting time to do things I normally like to do. But there we are, just turning a corner and saw Barnell on a post up by Worthing Crematorium, if you know it. So that was beautiful.
Lovely.
That absolutely made my week. Yeah, so there we go. That's me. And I'm recording a podcast again.
Yeah, here we are.
Anyway, how are you?
Well, you know, I'm much the same as a few hours ago when we spoke. what else can I throw into the mix? Well, I think I've been to the cinema.
Good.
I went to the cinema to see a film. It was an animation about an artist, a German artist, who was killed in the Holocaust. So it's not sort of like Disney Princess.
Yeah, really. I must have missed that one.
Her name was Charlotte Salomon, and she was an amazing artist, actually. Just now sort of getting recognition, or in recent years, she decided to paint her whole life, everything that she could remember. And so she did sort of quick paintings of it and worked very hurriedly, because I think she knew the fate that was awaiting her. And and in doing so, sort of created this sequential piece of art that is really the first graphic novel in a way.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But it was fairly sort of tough in a way. It was sad. So it wasn't exactly, you know, a date night movie, but there you go. But it's interesting.
Maybe this is why Claire wants you to go and be silent for a while. Think about your film choices.
Well, no, hang on a minute. That was her idea.
Okay.
You don't think I'd have chosen that. I just sort of went along.
Okay, fair enough.
It was Epiphany a couple of Sundays ago.
Yes, it was.
And I just wanted to ask whether you went up the pier.
I did. We went up the pier.
Did you epiph in any way?
I was not epiphed upon on this occasion, but I did watch the huge waves and the tide coming in, and that was very beautiful. Yeah. How about you?
Well, I went to church, obs.
Of course you did.
And actually, I went to a very interesting special service because it was the 900th anniversary of the founding of this church, which is in our benefice, St. Peter's little church. And it was founded 9th of January 1123. Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's an old church.
900th anniversary. 900 years we've been worshipping in that church.
I imagine that would get you very excited indeed.
It's got Norman arches. It's lovely. I appreciated everything about it.
And are some of the original members still there?
Well, there were a few people who weren't moving very much, so they may have been there for quite a few hundred years. Yeah. Oh, and now I see your barn owl and I raise you because we've got a murmuration of starlings.
Oh, fantastic.
In our village. And I say in our village, I mean up the end of my road.
Wow.
And I say up the end of my road, over the Spa supermarket.
That majestic, well-known birding area.
Exactly. It's not exactly sort of Minsmere or some bird reserve. And it's amazing. Up the end of the road, about 4 o'clock each night at the moment, people are gathering. There's lots of people there to watch it because there's tens of thousands of these things up in the sky. And I've never seen anything like it in such a built-up area, actually.
You must have some reeds somewhere that they go down on, I imagine.
No, there's a few big trees, apparently. What is it in their nature? Why do they suddenly decide, you know, guys, this year, why don't we do it above the Spa?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, we've done Otmore, we've done bird reserves, we've done the beaches. Let's do it above a slightly downtrodden supermarket in an Oxfordshire village.
Well, the head starling obviously made that decision.
So anyway, so that's lovely having that up the end of the road. I think we should get on with some feedback now, though.
I think we'd better add while we still have broadband.
Well, you're laughing because, come on, listen, let's let you into the latest. The broadband's just gone down again. Unbelievable.
This might go out this weekend. We don't know. Okay, well, look, I'm getting on with the feedback. Firstly, huge thanks to Peter because Peter sent in a fantastic picture. In fact, I think it was an icon. In fact, and it's going to be the icon for the show because he sent us in this incredible picture of an angel playing the bongos. So it's this perfect angel for this show. It's like all the angels were just you know, singing holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. And then one of them thought, no, I've had enough of this. I'm getting the bongos out. So I love that. Thank you.
Do you think he's the sort of censor of the angels? Do you think he's like waiting, if they sing something inappropriate, he's going to bongo over it?
Yeah, if they swear during their worship, he's got it covered.
Or he could be the guardian angel of this show.
Exactly.
He could be like, actually, all the guardian angel of the show does, he doesn't do anything to protect the broadband, he just bongos if we swear.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, Peter, for sending that in. We'll put it on the website, shall we?
Yeah, we will. There's been a few emails in about themes for this year. So maybe before we get going on that, you could just explain about why we tend to do themes and not sort of New Year's resolutions, if you can remember.
Yeah, I can remember. It's an idea that I got from listening to another podcast, the tech podcast, but I think it was a good idea. And the idea is, you know, we all make these resolutions with goals and measurements in. and they're rather sort of alarming and oppressive in a way. And pretty much we fail on them. You know, I mean, sometimes it works out, but pretty much we things fall apart. So instead of doing a goal for the year, why not set a theme for the year? Find something that encapsulates what you want to do during the year, and then all kinds of activities can help you move towards that. So it doesn't have measurements to it, but it has a kind of, you know, an area of concentration, if you like, or awareness. I'm going to try and do this year. And then if you don't do it one day or 2 days, it doesn't matter. You're not worried. You haven't missed out or anything. You haven't failed. No. You just, it's just a kind of, I suppose it's a navigation aid to try and sort of sort where you're heading this year or an area you want to concentrate on. So that's all it is, really.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Well, so without further ado, Claire has sent in her winning theme. And she says this: my theme for the year is be kind. Well done, Claire. Perfect. Mm. She says, be kind to others, to myself, to seek kindness in an uncertain situation or in a frustrating situation or when we disagree. Be kind. Mm. Brilliant. Love that, Claire. And I love that you include yourself in that. It's sometimes so hard to be kind to yourself, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's exactly sort of sums up what we're trying to do. You know, she's aware that the different situations facing her that require kindness as a response, and I think it's just a reminder, really, that kind of thing.
That's great. Thanks, great. Claire. And then Stu wrote in, he says, my theme is to not become a hater and further embrace the approach yes and. So he said, I sense an increasing emphasis to be in this camp or that camp. Agree with this, agree with that. Be cross about this, be super pro about that. He says, I think social media drives us into tribes. Too right it does, Stu. He says, the recent publicity around Harry and Meghan is a classic example. So are you for or against Harry? And let's not forget how progressives can be just as fiercely dogmatic as conservatives. But isn't even that an unhelpful way of thinking? Aren't we all progressive and conservative in different areas of our lives? So how can we label ourselves as one or the other? He says, I want to have the freedom to choose where I stand, if anywhere at all. And this might keep changing, and listen and love and be super secure in all of this. So 2023, I won't become a hater. I will embrace the yes and see where that leads. It's really good, isn't it?
That's really helpful.
I love that.
Good.
He does have a PS as well. He says, oh, yes. He says, and attend a mid-faith crisis retreat in Cumbria. Can't wait. He's had a little word of knowledge, hasn't he?
Is this something you haven't told me?
No. For once, no. No, there is no retreat currently planned. But if Stu wants to, you know, organise it, we could go.
I mean, we're cheap and available. seriously, we are sort of looking in vaguely to sort of the possibility of some events later on this year, but it won't be till later on this year at any rate. But it would be nice to go up north, wouldn't it?
It would be lovely to go up north. And then one from Mick here, who says, my theme will be nurture and cherish what you have, which sounds to me like a great theme and an antidote to rampant consumerism. Nurture and cherish what you have. Thanks for that, Mick. Appreciate that.
Great. Well, do send in your themes if anything inspires you out of this episode or previous discussions.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our themes now. I think it's quite. I found it quite challenging this year to think of a theme, perhaps I should qualify that. I think I know what I want to do, but actually framing it is quite difficult. So. The best way I can approach that is to say you go first.
Yeah.
And you tell me your theme.
Yeah, and I was afraid you were going to do that. And it's tricky. This is a bit like last year. I haven't found a way of articulating it because I haven't had an epiphany on what my theme should be yet. But my sense, for what it's worth, is that it is something to do with service and sort of looking at beyond my own sort of sense of private spirituality. And you know, I think so often, you know, when you go through deconstruction and all that process, inevitably it becomes a bit navel-gazing, or perhaps that's a bit unkind. Inevitably you have to go inside, you have to question everything, and that can immobilise you for a while, I think. But it's a season, and I feel like the season that's coming is a season of service, of, you know, trying to be useful and working in partnership with the divine and what's going on in the world, what the kingdom of God looks like. So I'm not quite sure how to articulate that, but that feels like the right season for me. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you say trying to be useful.
Yes.
Is this just a reaction to the Dyson incident? My first question.
Do you know what? I hadn't made that link, but now you mention it. Yeah, that's clearly where it's come from.
How do you think this relates to your last year's sort of theme about serenity? Which was a theme that sort of emerged actually over the first few weeks, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And praying that serenity prayer over and over. And goodness me, I couldn't have known at the start of the year just how important that was going to be towards the end. You know, the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and courage to change the things I can. So last year really became about learning what to accept and what can be changed. I don't think I can change much but me, you know, so I suppose that's some of the wisdom that grew out of it. And that's the last line of the prayer, wisdom to know the difference, of course. So, you know, I think I am accepting things, but you know, we talked a little bit about meaning and purpose, and I'm sure we're going to return to those kind of themes in the year. And I suppose I've realised, you know, it's not about being the best preacher or changing the world in huge ways. It's actually about just little things along the way. You know, back in the 80s when everyone had words over you, do you remember that? When you go to a Christian meeting, everyone say, I believe God's telling me that you're going to be a great leader and you're going to do this, you're going to be a fisher of men or something like that. It seemed an odd thing to do. It seemed a bit cruel. I'm not sure about fishing. as a sport, anyway. But, you know, so a long time I thought my purpose was, well, I'm going to be a really immense church leader. I mean, I am already quite overweight, as you know, but, you know, I thought it's going to, you know, some sort of thing like that, because that's what my ego was sort of fed back in those early days. But now I think that a really great life looks like, you know, being a good husband and a good dad you know, a good neighbour and a good colleague to work with, or those things that I used to think were little are not the little. That actually is the action ground. That is what life's about. So embracing that far more. What it actually looks like, I'm not quite sure yet. But I guess I'll find out along the way.
Well, I think there are some things emerging in your conversation. I mean, this sense of purpose being found in almost the ordinary things of life.
Absolutely. Every day.
And maybe there's that same sense of service to be found in the ordinary things of life, to sort of ask yourself, how have I served people today, you know, in whatever area you've found yourself, or how can I do that?
Yeah.
I think it's a good point you make about, you know, the things that we were told when we were younger and all this kind of stuff. But maybe I sometimes wonder about that, you know, because people gave me words and things like that. And I always interpreted them as though I was going to be famous. You know, that was, I think it was mainly because it was sort of supporting what I thought I wanted at that time, you know. And so you interpreted it as that. And yet I wonder if they have actually worked out, but not in the way that we were ever expecting them. You know, it's kind of like the purpose idea, you know, that you were talking about. I mean, you say to do the small things. Well, Jesus said that the most important thing, or one of the joint most important things, was to love your neighbour.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
So that's not a small thing. That's
No.
That's indeed a huge area of service. And it's just that it sort of happens in smaller moments. So I don't know. I think it sounds like a good theme to think about. And maybe it just needs a bit of refining in terms of what are the areas that you feel that might work its way out in, really.
Sure, yeah.
But I do think if you just ask yourself that question, how am I going to serve today? You know, am I prepared to serve today?
Yeah, no, that's good. And I think also there's a part of me that, you know, you end up questioning, you know, sometimes I think, should I still call myself a Christian? I don't know. I mean, I do, because I want to follow Jesus. And so that's my baseline for what it means to be a Christian. So all the while I want to follow Jesus, I guess I'm going to call myself a Christian. Others might not agree with me. And I think you go through that sort of slight period of real insecurity. Well, I don't believe this now and I don't believe that now. So can I do this? And I think part of me is wanting to just put that behind me now and say, look, I am going to hold my head high in the sense of not boasting about what I believe or what I don't believe, but actually just letting my actions do the talking, I guess. Perhaps that's part of it.
Yeah, I think that sounds sensible. I mean, there is a danger, isn't there, that you get into a kind of paralysis by analysis, that you end up...
Exactly.
You end up saying, well, I don't understand this and I don't understand that. But that can stop you doing any of it if you're not careful.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's where I think, right, no, now is the time to just get on with it, really. Hmm.
Well, I'd be interested to see how that works out. I think that sounds interesting. I think maybe think about the small things, you know, maybe bring that something like that in. Something in the ordinary or the everyday. Anyway, sounds good.
Thank you. Okay, well, look, that's enough about me. Let's talk about you. So where's your thinking?
Yeah, well, So this is a difficult one because there is a word, talking of words, there is a word that has been sort of rattling around my brain for a while. And that is Negroni. And I feel like I need one. No, actually, no, it wasn't that. But...
Another one.
Yeah, thank you. I need about three or four, mate. It's something to do with wisdom. A while back, I was talking about wisdom, and I remember saying that, you know, the church tends to privilege revelation over wisdom. The evangelical church particularly tends to sort of, it wants God to show us what to do instead of us sitting around thinking, what's the best plan here? What's the most sensible thing to do? What's the next good thing to do?
Right, yeah, you know? Yeah, get it,
And yet the Jewish Old Testament tradition is all about treasuring wisdom and thinking and working together to think and even collecting thoughts.
That's a nice idea.
The more I start to think about it, this word just kept... on at me, because I was also thinking about legacy. As you get older, you sort of start to think about these kinds of things, you know. It's really hard to talk about it because it sounds a bit vain, but I think my theme for next year is something to do with wisdom, gaining wisdom, or being wise, or at least wiser.
Okay.
And of course, the minute you say that, you sound like you want to set yourself up as some kind of guru or, you know, assume the lotus position and sit on top of a mountain and issue sort of strange gnomic utterances. Partly it was just because I was reading sort of Ecclesiastes.
As you do.
Yeah, to cheer yourself up when you've seen a film about a German artist or anything like that. I was reading Ecclesiastes, and there's a bit in there which it says wisdom is as good as a legacy.
Oh, there you
and
go.
It just sort of leapt out at me.
It's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
So I think I want to declare this. And this is a younger colleague of mine at work once said to me, she said, thank you for your wisdomness. And it always struck me. She said, is that a word? Yeah. Is that a word? I said, it might as well be. But I think I'd like to have the year of wisdomness.
That's brilliant.
And I don't really know, in a way, what it means. I don't think it's about trying to be a wise man as such. I think it's about just trying to be wiser in things.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say to you, how on earth are you going to measure that? I mean, it can't be measured. How will you know if you are wiser at the end? Do you ever know whether you're wise? No,
well, I mean, I don't think any of us ever feel wise, really.
No.
And if you were to say, I am a wise man...
You're not.
That's one of the most stupid things you could say.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Almost by definition, you've ruled yourself out. I suppose I think what I'm trying to do is maybe pay more attention to wisdom rather than knowledge. So I tend to accumulate knowledge. That's what I do. And, you know, I know lots of stuff.
Right.
And this has happened to me several times during my life. I can remember I can remember going through the period writing about first century history, about Judean history and all this kind of thing, New Testament history. And I knew so much stuff. And then I suddenly realised that actually I needed to tell people about Jesus. You know, I needed to actually apply it.
Right.
The facts themselves were only so interesting. It's not about knowing loads of stuff. It was actually a quote from Dallas Willard that unpacked that for me when he said, you know, we know loads about Christ, but the real trick, as it were, is to be Christ-like, you know.
Yes.
And I think that the challenge now for me is, how do I share wisdom? Where do I learn it myself? Who am I going to listen to? How am I going to respond to things in a wise way? Part of what's inspired it is just we have such a wisdom deficit in our society. We don't.
Yeah.
Nobody responds with any wisdom because it takes time.
Yeah.
It, you have to sit back and you have to consider things, and nobody does that. And so, you know, we have to sort of model it in some way. So I suppose it's all around this. How am I collecting wisdom? You know, how am I gathering it? Who am I listening to? What am I paying attention to? How do I respond to the issues of the world? How do I just behave a bit wiser than I have been? I don't know if I could be wise, but I'm pretty sure I can be wiser. And that's where I think I want to go. And I'm pretty sure I can respond in a wiser way to things.
Yeah, so what would this theme mean doing, do you think? What do you actually do with a theme like that?
I don't know. That's the thing. I think reflection is a key thing, which may bring us right back to Claire's book. she may have identified something, because I don't think I have been spending much time in quiet and solitude and really reflecting on things. I think it means thinking about how I'm going to work and what I'm going to write and how I write, and really focusing on, you know, what have I learnt that I can pass on. I think that's a really tricky thing when you get older, because you don't know, in a sense, what you know. You're not sure about it. You've just accumulated stuff, or you've learned stuff, or you've got experience. And at some point, it's worthwhile sitting down thinking, well, what do I really know? What have I learned? And if I had to give a page of A4 to somebody about, you know, here are my key things that I've learned in my life, I wonder what I'd write down. What would I say?
Yeah, that is a good one. Maybe you should do that.
Yeah, well, I think it means sort of intentional reading. It means conversation. You know, with wise people. I don't know any, but I'm going to have to find some. Obviously,
I'll see if Rachel's free.
Yeah, she sounds good value. I mean, at least she could tell me how to fix a Hoover. So that'd be great.
I tell you what, I do think she's quite wise, and she does spend, you know, pretty much an hour every day in silence journaling.
Right.
And being still. So there you go. Yeah.
So that's what I think it is. I think it's, and I don't know how it's going to work out, and it's quite fun in a sense to think about it, but I think for me, I'm going to say it's the year of wisdomness.
Brilliant.
And we'll just see where that goes.
That is a good title as well, the year of wisdomness. I long to have one. Also, I have to say, and I'm not just saying this for the sake of it, but I do think you're well on that road anyway. I mean, even let us look at how you reacted to 3 hours ago.
Oh, right.
You know, I'm not sure whether the Nick of old would have been as gracious as you actually were. You laughed.
I did laugh. It was bordering on hysteria, but it was... I think... Yes, that's exactly it. You think you have to think about how you react to things, and it's about perspective and all this kind of stuff. And I honestly don't know how it's going to work out. And none of us think we're very wise, and we're all of us probably wiser than we think.
Yeah, but I genuinely think you are, and I think, you know, you are. I mean, you demonstrated to me in that bit a bit more of just being that non-reactive presence, not
right
over, you know, in the sense. And I think I see that more and more happening with you, to be honest.
Well, that's kind of you.
So I'm sure there's plenty of room for improvement. I'm sure could do better.
I'm fairly sure there is. Yeah, I just think it might work out in interesting ways. Really,
yeah.
Just as a thing to think about, as a theme to think about.
Yeah, no, I think it's a wonderful theme. Well done, mate. Great. Anyway. So, well, listen. If like Nick said, if this is resonating with anyone, or you want to share your themes, we'd love to hear from you. Just set your email machines to joe@midfaithcrisis.org. love to hear from you. And maybe just a quick word, going back to Claire's theme about being kind to yourself. And just very aware, this is a, you know, difficult time of year for a lot of people. When it's cold and it's grey and wet. And I know a lot of people really struggle. So if you are struggling at the moment, then take on board those words about being kind to yourself. That is not an unspiritual thing to do. That is a very profoundly spiritual thing to do. Find something that brings you life. Maybe even take a trip to a cinema or see a murmuration. Go bird watching. Yeah. Whatever being kind looks like to you, maybe do a little bit of that in these last weeks of January. That would be a good idea.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And let's hope this eventually makes it out, this episode. Thank you for your patience. We do apologise we weren't around last week.
Yes, we do.
And we're very grateful for everyone who listens, for everyone who contributes. That's so kind of you. And actually, especially if you've recommended it to a friend, that's lovely. We get a lot of emails where people say, oh, yeah, somebody told me about this podcast, or somebody said I should listen. And whether that person was trying to take revenge on the other person, I don't know. But, you know, even so, it's nice. We gained a listener. So,
yeah, indeed.
You know, that's lovely. So we'll be back with you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Well, who can say? Who can say, really?
Hang on, Nick, you've frozen and I've lost you. Oh, this is just great.
I don't believe it. You appear to have frozen.
I'm waiting for you to come back.
I don't believe it.
Oh, please come back. Oh, it's too painful for words. I actually want to die. Oh, help me.
I don't believe
it. It's the devil. It is the devil.